See John 3:18. He came to offer us life instead of death, hope instead of despair, and light instead of darkness. All who are weary, come to me, and I will give you rest. Horatius Bonar wrote these words in 1846. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down. Thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, so weary, worn, and sad. I found him a resting place, and he has made me glad. 1846. So there is great hope in this verse, but we must start where Jesus starts. If we are to make excuses and pretend we aren't so bad off, we'll never find the rest that Jesus promises us. You can't be forgiven until you admit you are a sinner. Only the sick need a doctor, and only sinners need a savior. That's the good news of our text. Jesus did not come to condemn you, but there is better news straight ahead. Part two, the better news. Jesus was a man on a mission. Luke 19:10 tells us, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. What is our Lord like? He is like the woman who lost a coin and searched her house until she found it. He is like the man who lost one sheep and went out into the wilderness to find it. He is like the father who welcomed his prodigal son home again. He came seeking sinners up a tree at midnight and by Jacob's well. Jesus came seeking those caught in adultery, blind beggars, lepers, and wild men living in tombs. He even came seeking self-righteous Pharisees who thought they didn't need him. He came seeking fishermen, politicians, radicals, physicians, tax collectors, rich men at the top of the heap, and poor folks no one else would touch. He sought the prostitutes and the drunkards, and they loved him for it. When he was dying, he came seeking one hanging on a cross beside him, a sinner. This means the worst among us can be saved. Do not put limits on the grace of God. As Corrie ten Boom likes to say, there is no pit so deep that the love of God is not deeper still. God has more grace in his heart than you have sin in your life, by a long shot. Jesus is a better savior than you are a sinner. Isn't that great? You don't have to be a prisoner of your past. In Christ, you can rise above your past to a life, that brings great glory to God. The gospel song, To God Be the Glory, contains this encouraging line. Those of you who might remember that, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Sometimes it's hard to believe that. Who among us would be the first to say, play back the unedited transcript of my life? No, there are things better left unsaid and thoughts better left unspoken. We all labor under a sense of sins committed this very week, this very day. Of duties left undone, of careless cutting words we wish we could take back, of deliberate greed, of foolish choices made in haste. But it is the glory of the gospel that no matter how your sins may be, you can be saved right now. Your past does not determine your future, even when Jesus enters the picture. If you qualify as lost, then you are an excellent candidate for salvation. If you are a sinner, Christ came seeking you. Now, the next part, part three, the best news. If we study this verse word by word, if we translate it from the Greek, if we read what the commentators say, if we spend hours checking all the cross references, if we do all that and do not make it personal, we have missed the point of Jesus' words. This is not just a general statement about why Jesus came to earth. We need to ask what these words have to do with us personally. Let's see if we can get that personal part by looking at two aspects of the verse. First, the word world is used three times in John 3:17. That's a striking fact if you think about it. It's not a very long sentence. Christ has come into the world. He did not come to condemn the world. He came that the world, that's three times, might be saved. This suggests the universality of Christ's mission. He came to a world that was in rebellion against God. He came to a prodigal planet that decided to go its own way. The word world in this context means something like a world gone bad, an old gospel song that Christ came out of the ivory places into a world of woe. Imagine a sign over the entry of heaven that reads, "For sinners only." If you qualify, come in, because Jesus died for your sins, and only for sinners. But there is a second truth that we must face. Salvation is only through him. This suggests the exclusivity of the gospel. We talked about the universality of the gospel. This suggests that the Bible and Christ's message is very personal. He came to a world that was in rebellion against God. He came to a prodigal planet that decided to go its own way. Again, this little quip of the song, out of the ivory places into a world of woe, I think describes it perfectly. All right. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's John 14:6. That verse is not popular with many people because it sounds too narrow. It sounds like it would be more comfortable if Jesus said, "I am a way, but not the way." We would be happy if he had said, "I am the way, but it's okay if you decide to find your own way." I remember watching a TV talk show in which the host described this idea of who will be saved. He said it was something like this: "I believe God is so loving that when he looks at my life, he'll shake his head and then say, 'Ah, come on in.'" Or I should add, "Come on in anyway."